Welcome back, everybody. My name is Joel Hubbard, and I'm here with Jim Zartman, and we are on to panel three, type three. And this is still in the Heart Triad. We started that last time we talked, and wow, we're looking at type threes, the performer.
The performer. They know how to get it done. They know how to achieve. They know how to conquer the next hill. They know how to do what it takes to appear successful, to look successful, to change the game where they were not successful in order to appear successful. We talked about how we don't look at the worst part of the type or the low side of the type in order to just dwell there or like it's something that needs fixed. The point is that we self-sabotage the gifts we have to bring to the world if we don't deal with that. And this is very true for the three. The three has incredible gifts to bring.
You know, one of the I had a conversation recently with the type three. We were talking about in dealing with a lot of the low side of the three. Mm. And I paused for a moment and I said, listen, everything I'm saying has nothing to do with what you might be anticipating me communicating to you, which is you're not supposed to be successful. Said, you are supposed to be successful, and totally. You will be, because that's your gift of the world. Yeah. And you teach the rest of us how to succeed. And once I said that, it was this moment of, okay, because I find that it's just human nature with all types that we tend to focus more on the things that are not working really well, unless you're a type seven, which you kind of tend to focus on only the good. But most of us really focus on the things that are not going well. And then we can kind of lose energy. You're just sort of always in that place of darkness, forgetting that it's not about not where you're going. It's about where you're going. And as a type three, you're supposed to succeed. You're supposed to change the world in very practical ways. And we need you, type threes. And so, as Jim, you said earlier, is – we're not looking to deal with that alone. We're trying to say that this is the reason why we look at the low side is because it's sabotaging your success in other dimensions. Maybe you're successful in terms of your career, but what about your family? What about your health? What about your joy? What about what's true to you on the inside? You know, what do you really want to do? Who really are you? And when you tune into that, it doesn't turn out to make you less successful. It actually increases your measure of success and even achievement in this world.
Because the idea of real success is holistic. It's in every area of life. I mean, grateful. I mean, there's a lot of you threes have found incredible solutions that no one else could find. You employ a lot of people who may not otherwise have jobs. So we definitely want your gifts in the world. But not at the expense of everything else, not at the expense of your health, not at the expense of your relationships. And so many threes have told me that they have a fear of looking at the dark side more, a lot more than the four or the two does. They have a fear of looking at it because they're afraid if they look at it, they won't come out. If they actually look at this darkness, they'll get stuck there. And so I'm very, very impressed with I meet a three who is really doing their work.
Yeah, and this panel, oh, wow. This panel is... You guys, you're in for a treat. This panel is very self-aware and open, you know, but it's funny because type threes will admit that I can do that as long as I can appear successful, even, you know, if the rules of the game are I have to be vulnerable and open, I know how to succeed at that too, right? Right. So, but that's not what's going on here with this panel. They were, they're really doing their work to be open, to deal with what's going on inside of them, and to really learn to be authentic, to be truthful about who they are. That's a lot of the work for the three, is moving from vanity to being full out truthful from the inward parts, you know, from the center, the emotional center. They're the anchor point of the emotional center, and yet they're between the two and the four, the three is the least self-aware. And so that's where, you know, that's where the work for the three goes to, is who am I? What's going on inside of me emotionally, you know, and can I be honest about that? And so that's the work. That's a lot of the work for the three.
And it may sound incredibly scary if you are a three, But threes who do their work are unstoppable people. They are incredible lights in the world.
And by the way, once they do each type, once you're absolutely right, because once each type does the thing that they struggle with the most, they actually it's actually more beautiful and more impactful
totally.
Than the rest of us who don't struggle nearly with that issue as much.
Right.
So when a three tells the truth, it's like, oh, wow, that's really profound and amazing. And you'll hear that on this panel. There's some incredible stuff being shared, and it takes your breath away.
So let's get to this three panel, because whether you are a three or you are doing life with a three, I think this will really benefit you. So without further ado, let's listen to these threes share what it's like to be them.
Now we're on to the type three. Type threes report that they have a high need for success in their lives, for achievement. And so I want to begin by just asking that question to you guys and see what's in that. Why is it important for you to succeed?
I think for a three, the feeling is, well, what else is there? It's like, that's what it's about, being successful.
Yeah.
And I thought everybody felt that way, that that's what it's about. And shouldn't that be what you think? Well, here's where the growing and the stretching happen, because you want to look good. You want to look good. You want things to go well. A three does not like dealing with failure. So you're always putting yourself in situations where you don't have to fail. You sort of size up a situation ahead of time. Will I be successful? Okay, I'll go for it. Will I not be successful? I will probably pass. As you grow as a three, the sense of things I would like to do, like drawing, sculpture, I would love to do that, but I'm afraid that I'm not going to be successful. And it's something that's external, other people can see. So it's a little bit like, wow, people would actually be able to see my failure if I did something like that.
Okay.
And as I grow as a three, it's sort of like, that's really not important what people think. It's important that if I feel that expression rising up in me, that I give it voice, regardless of the outcome. And I think that's the real growth edge of threes with this failure, for me at any rate, this sort of, so trying writing or trying playing the piano or trying, you know, actually doing those things that make me feel like this is an area I could fail. And how bad would it be if I did? And it's not that bad, generally.
And I think there's an element of just joy that comes when you achieve something, when you're successful. It's kind of the reason probably why my kids think I'm like hooked to Candy Crush, because, you know, you can beat that level and you're like, I achieved something, you know. It kind of gets that wiring going in your brain. So, and even just like even reflecting on think on past successes even has a little bit of that allure, I guess. You know, it's actually kind of, when you sent me the questions, I was actually thinking about it's like 15 years ago I wrote this paper. I was in graduate school. And actually still periodically check and see, how many times has someone cited that? Oh, it's up to like 500 now. And just kind of gives me that little, oh, look, that's something I can look back on and be proud of. To me, it's kind of like building this little mountain of achievements or something that you kind of like, yep, that's my life. And that's all the stuff I was able to do. So
I don't mean to start this morbidly, but I've noticed myself often imagining how many people will be at my funeral, mainly because in my mind, I think, man, I got this time here on earth. How do I know that I actually did something? And so success for me is part of how I validate my existence. You know, it's how I add value to myself and give myself a sense that, okay, this opportunity on earth was worth it versus a drain on other people or a somehow neutral effect on the earth, if that makes any sense.
Mm. Yeah, wow. I mean, you guys have already hit on a few things, which has to do with the need for affirmation, encouragement, attention from the world around you. And, you know, you mentioned a little bit of that, but then also how you're growing towards desires that are more true to the self. And then you mentioning, you know, that this idea of worth. A lot of threes report that I have this need for worth, or worth that comes from the feedback I get from the world around me. So maybe talk about that, how that's playing itself out in your life, and what are some ways you're working towards a little bit more away from the world's feedback and from more from that internal drive?
The thing I mentioned about how do I feel? The thing about the three is I began to understand it. I never stopped to think about how I felt. You know, as a mother, you're concerned about how everybody else feels. And I hit a place when I stopped raising my kids, and it was like, well, who am I? Who am I outside of this role? So I think you tend to have these roles you play, but when that role is gone, there's this sense of wandering of, if I'm not having a role, then who am I? And I can't always answer that question. How do you feel? What do you think? What do you want to do? Well, what do you want to do? You know, that chameleon-ness of the three is an important place to be. It's important to you because you feel that that's good for other people. It's good, you know, you're sort of a manipulator in a way. But when you get down to who you are, it's really hard to find out who you are.
Say a bit more about the manipulation. What do you mean by that?
I feel like sometimes a three can walk into a room and sort of size up what's happening and sort of adapt. You sort of know what to say. You sort of know how to behave. You sort of know how to make people like you. And there's the thing, make people like you, as if that's the goal, you know. Yeah, but for a three, it is. I want you to like me. How can I make you like me? Underneath is, please like me, you know.
Yeah.
It's very close to a two. One of the things we know is that the threes and the twos are the only type that do adapt and change, and it could be completely unconscious. The difference between a three and a two doing it is the three has a goal in sight, and the adaptation or the adjustment is in service of getting to that goal. It can also be, and you could be right on that 3-2 line, if you're a two, it's the adjustment is to the needs of the person that they see themselves being helpful to. Really close, but it is an adjustment. You stated the dilemma of the three, like right out of the textbook.
Yeah, it was very,
It was really, really clear that I want to see worth. What happens when you don't get that feedback? For example, somebody who knows you really well, who just wants you to kind of relax and hang out with them and not do anything. What happens then?
Deer in the headlights.
Well, when it comes to my wife, if she just wants to hang out, I justify it in my mind as I am being a successful husband by spending time with her because this is what she wants. Which I'm not trying to make her a project, but in my mind, like, I think, okay, well, maybe I'll get some relaxation out of this in the process, but at least I'm spending time with her and it's good. I hate to say it this way because I think this is more where you're going. If there are certain people, let's say, because I pastor a church, and so if they don't go to my church, I can't justify it as my work. They're not a part of my family. I can't justify it as I'm doing that role. They're someone who doesn't necessarily help me check a box in some area of life, who just wants to hang out. I have a hard time being content in that moment and just caring about that person for who they are.
Yeah. So, oh, boy. Yeah.
So here's the thing. You know that you are more than the type. Somewhere in there, you know that. Yeah. Okay? The growth path is to bring that more and more into consciousness and get okay with it. You are not just what you do for us or for the world. You couldn't pastor if you didn't know it. The way we were taught, and I've said this before, I'll say it a different way, is the type is kind of like a structure that's over us. It's almost like a little cage, and we're attached. And the growth path is to very gently and very slowly loosen those pins so that we can't make it go away, but we can loosen it. And for the three, I couldn't have said it better. It's to remember, wait a minute, my worth does not depend on what I do. I hope that's okay. I went right at the center of the type.
Yeah, sure.
The more you can remember it, and it doesn't mean you got to go hang out with people you don't like or that you don't see any reason for, but we need you to learn that you're more than what you do so that you will actually learn to relax. And until you can unhook that a little bit, you can't settle.
So much in that that I want to mine even more. I want to go even deeper. Okay, so like, you mentioned about self-awareness, which I think is so key because there's a distinction between self-knowledge and self-awareness. Self-knowledge is what you gain when you learn about the Enneagram and you learn about your type. And you say, oh, yeah, okay, so my type does this. Self-awareness is to actually see it while it's happening in the moment because that's when you can hack the pattern. Prior to that point, you're just always in reaction or in reflection looking back saying, geez, I wish I hadn't done that. Or I wish I could have been more authentic in that space, right? That's one of the paths towards the virtue for the three is moving ever towards truth, veracity, authenticity, you know, being yourself in all situations of life. And you guys have done some work on that and growth in that area. But that self-awareness is where that moment to stop, to pause and to say, what's going on right now? Some of my clients, what I tell them is look for the cues. You've got cues going on all the time in your system, your body acts, you know, tension, something's going on. But those are little hints that something's off. And when you pay attention, you just pause for literally 30 seconds. What's going on? What's happening in my head right now? What's happening in my heart right now? What am I feeling? Oh, that's what I'm doing. I'm doing this thing of shape-shifting or feeling like I need to perform right now for these people. Okay. What do I want to do in this moment? So rather than beating yourself up and getting down on yourself, it's more of a moment to pivot, to choose like I can do something different. And if I do, that begins to unravel the type structure that you were talking about that's around you. So anyways,
I think on some level I've sort of begun to experience that. I mean, I started studying the Enneagram back probably 10 years ago. But about maybe 6-7 years ago, I went through a big health crisis where I had to ask other people for help. Like, I needed help. And that's hard for a three because a three's doing everything. One of the family jokes is that mom says, Thanksgiving's the easiest meal. It's like, no, Thanksgiving's, if I do, I say, people say, oh, that meal was great. Oh, it was easy. I'm like, why did I say that? I'm lying. It's deception. But I want to look successful, like, see how I could throw this great banquet. And it was so easy for everybody.
Oh, that's awesome.
So you almost have to laugh at yourself.
Like, sure,
so
you do, yeah.
The kids say, yeah, mom says Thanksgiving dinner's easy. You know, said that these things that I say are easy. I realize that's the deception. That's the low place of this type that you, because of appearance,
yeah,
you lie. When I got asked to do this, I thought, what good story could I think of and tell everybody?
Okay.
What really great story could I tell? And I think, could it be true or could it be a little exaggerated? Just a little exaggerated. Yeah. But
what did you learn, Alice, from being ill and having to ask for help? What did it teach you?
I think for threes that, I mean, the blessing is, you know, for me, was this catastrophe of health problems that forced me to ask people for help and to share what was going on with me that wasn't great. And I recognize it in the sort of embarrassing and difficult and painful situations. When I'm able to share that with people, it brings me closer to people in a way I hadn't experienced before. Instead of being the listener and the great understander, the great listener, the successful this, coming at me, listening to other people, I'm telling other people my struggles and my faults or my weaknesses or things I'm working with. And what I'm finding is that then they're telling me their struggles and they're similar, but we never would have gotten to that place because I just wouldn't be vulnerable about it. And so I think it creates this richness of interaction.
Yes.
One thing I've done, I got into a listening group that meets once a month of five women. And we meet once a month and we share what God's doing in our life. And then we'll share what's happened and where we think God's pushing us. And we sometimes ask each other questions. That is really hard for me. Hmm. It's the only space I have where we've developed this kind of trust that I can be vulnerable. And it's wonderful. And it allows me to mine what's inside of me to know,
perfect,
how do I really feel?
Yes.
And it allows me to hear how they really feel. And I guess I feel like life is more complex than I thought it was before.
Yeah. Brilliant. You've found your path. You found a way through that. And a lot of types report that. Like if they're doing their work, they find it. It's not like this like forever meandering trying to figure out how to. It's just you brought the difficulty, the struggle, the health crises to begin with, but then you found a way to begin to engage your own soul, your own heart, as a way towards truth.
Yeah, and those connections are more meaningful. Like I really now care about people. You know, I'm listening. I'm a better listener. I really can listen, and then I can say how I feel about that. That's really unusual.
To say that, because you just mentioned, like even looking at this diagram here, you have the three, the performer. So drawing, and by the way, as Joan said, you can draw strength from either direction, the nine or the six. Typically, people do report when they're stressed as a three, they tend to go towards the low side of the nine, which is sort of narcotization and just like, you know, shutting down completely. Or playing video games for like 6 hours straight. And then the three, when they become, you know, more relaxed and they connect with people, the six, they're very aware of people. So that's what's happening. I'd love to hear from you, Eric, and as well about what are you learning and what are some things you've learned as well that have helped you to grow towards authenticity, towards truth, and what's working?
Chris, I think I identified a lot with what you said, Alice, about if you don't think that you're going to achieve it, then maybe you set the bar a little bit lower or you don't even try it. I think what's helped me in my journey has more just been when things don't work out, just being authentic and open and real about that. So I know I've shared within our church several times about 10 years ago, I wanted to be a professor and it just didn't work out. I interviewed for like 5 or 6 jobs and didn't get any of the jobs. I remember we had like a group meeting because we're with a bunch of other people who are also aspiring to be this professor, essentially. And my advisor was asking me, well, you know, tell us about what you're going to do next. And I just felt like I was supposed to be open. I shared, hey, I interviewed like 5 or 6 places. It didn't work out, but I found this other position. And she just kind of looked at me and she's like, you didn't have to share that. But for me, like, I did have to share that because that was just being honest about, you know, this is where I'm at. I don't want to sugarcoat it. And I think what I've seen over the past 10 years or so is that God's really used that and helped me, because we're not going to be successful at everything that we do. There are going to be disappointments. There's going to be things that we have to get over. And are you going to persevere through that and learn how to handle those setbacks? Or are you always just kind of going to push it down and say, no, everything's okay. I achieved something. And I think just learning that battle of that perseverance has helped me to, you know, take on those bigger challenges, take on things I'm not sure that I'm going to necessarily succeed at, and just realizing like, hey, it may not work out, but that's okay, because there's going to be another opportunity coming along around the corner probably anyway.
Yeah. So, and for those of you who don't know about, maybe you didn't pick up on the type three's tendency to reframe even failures and to turn them into successes. Like yeah, it didn't go exactly how I planned it. But you know what? It turned out to be a really wonderful thing, you know, and on and on and on. And it's a way of not feeling the failure or appearing as a failure in the eyes of other people. And that's what, when Eric's talking about that, like the needing to actually say, this didn't work out. Each type has a particular thing you must do that goes against your type that becomes your path, you know. So that's what he's referencing, and that becomes your way towards health and towards even more success. Because here's what I believe about every type. The thing that you're made to do, I mean, you put the performer, the three, that's how they're gifted. There's nothing bad about that. That's actually a wonderful gift to this country, huge gift. So it's not about becoming less of a performer. it's the low side that kind of sabotages even that process at times. And so it's just becoming aware of that. Love to hear from you, Kirk, as well. Like, what are some things you're doing to move towards authenticity and, you know, veracity?
I'll start with something that happened fairly recently, a couple different situations. Because I have not been very aware of this in me until probably the last 2 or 3 years when I've been forced to deal with it. But I had a situation fairly recently where somebody in our church, I made a particular decision. In my mind, it wasn't a big deal, but I got a text from this individual saying that they're very disappointed in my decision. Very. You know, it was their text. And I remember immediately, right when I read that, I didn't realize it until later, but I was like, I heard failure. I heard you failed in that decision. And so I immediately felt anger come up in me, and I wanted to throw something. I wanted to, my tendency typically is to, when I feel that anger, to either stuff it down and pretend like it's not really there, because I'm not supposed to be like that. I'm supposed to be calm, cool, and collected. That's what success looks like. Or it all just comes out in grumbling. I need somebody to grumble to about it. I need to let anger out in a healthy way. But one of the things that in that moment, because I've been focusing on some of this, thanks to you and others, is I said, okay, what I really want to do right now is not a healthy thing to do. So what I did instead is I stood up. There was nobody in the church at that moment. And I started pacing up and down the hallways and saying, God, I am ticked off this person. This person is as this, is a this, is a this, is a this. You know how I feel. You don't, this, I'm not telling you anything you don't know. And like just that process of confessing honestly to God, because I couldn't tell anybody else about this, right? Yeah, I couldn't go home and grumble to my wife because she had enough to deal with, you know, with the kids. And so I said, you know what? I'm going to take this. And I still told Shelby later what happened, but just not in this. I wasn't using her as my place to vent. It was like confession. Honest confession was a way I started kind of work through that to try to figure out what am I feeling? Because frankly, that's part of how I discover how I'm feeling sometimes is by confessing that.
What you're doing is you're taking the higher quality of the type, which is honesty, and you're letting yourself feel it, express it, and let it run through you in a really healthy way. All three of you have told us that instinctively, at some pressured point, you went towards health. That's where you keep working. You know how to do it. You just have to, you have to stop yourself from stopping it. That's it. I have to say this because this is what's good for me. It's very honest. And every type has that. We have the opposite of the self-deception. It's in there. We just have to make some more space for it. I think it's brilliant.
Yeah.
And you just do it until it feels like it's run.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can give the opposite of that real quick, because I'm also prone to this. I think the opposite of that is just overworking. So you get that emotion, you get that anger, and you're like, I'm just going to push harder. I'm going to find something. You know, I need to go clean the yard. I need to go, you know, I have something else I can do at work, and I'll just keep working, so I don't have to feel that.
Right.
So I don't have to deal with that, and I'll just keep achieving things. So, but it always ends up coming out one way or the other.
Yeah. Thank you for saying that, Eric, because that gives a vivid picture of what a lot of three types talk about. Here's something that I found very interesting about some of the threes that are clients of mine. They'll say that it took them years before they figured out they were being manipulated by other people in their circles. They never saw it. And what they discovered was they're in the heart center. So if you look on the screen there, you've got the 2, the 3, and the 4 are what's called heart center types. And that means they process life through the emotional center. So they tend to read emotions, pick up on what's going on, usually in the world around them. 4s also do it inside themselves. 3s are often the least aware of what's going on internally in their own emotional world. And yet, the anchor point of the heart center. So they read the world, right? You guys read the world around you from that emotional center. You're picking up on the cues. But before it gets to the place where you can process it rationally, a lot of threes say that they just go right into action to solving the problems around them. So it's like if problems emerge in your circles, you're all right to action. It's so what you were saying brought that to mind. Like it's the immediate thing of like, if I can't fix it or, you know, if there's a problem, I just get into action, right? So that's where threes have sometimes said, man, I didn't even realize that people were dropping cues, emotional cues around me, or needy people were coming around me. And I was immediately going right from picking that cue up to immediately solving their problem. And I found myself doing that a whole lot in losing myself in the process.
I had a situation happen to me just the other day. My daughter-in-law called and she was upset about something, and I'm listening and I'm giving her advice like, Listen to this person, listen to this person. And she would talk and talk. And I kept coming back, well, make sure you pay attention to this person. And finally, she said, you're not listening to me. She said it with such power. I was like, wow, I thought I was listening to you. But I wasn't. Mm. I wasn't really listening to what she was saying. I was trying to make sure she heard what I was saying. And so there... It's tough to be a three and a good mother-in-law, I think. That's all I'll say about that. But it did wake me up in the sense of, wow, she's sort of right. I'm not listening. And it made me step back.
It's the same as we were talking about here, though. The type in you was not listening and was going to solution. Somewhere in there, you were taking in all the emotional cues.
Yeah.
As Joel's saying, which is why when she stopped you, you could actually hear her. So it's always both. And we're trying to make that positive that got stuffed a little louder and the type a little softer. It's a good example.
Hmm. Let's take some questions.
Do you find that the first emotion that comes out is anger? And then you have to try to like figure out what you're really feeling?
You know, this is one of those interesting things, and I'll give a backdrop because I'm trying to figure it out as I talk out loud. You know, in high school, I would have these major blow-ups. I would start to feel stressed, and then major blow-up anger would just shock, and it would surprise me. And then I went through college and, you know, grad school after that, and it was pretty calm. I didn't notice that as much, but I also recognized that, I mean, what are you doing, writing papers and turning them into professor, like... There's no significance, right? I'm doing this to prepare for significance later, but it's not like my life and these things don't hang in the balance, you know? But since being a pastor, now my work matters. Like, again, in my mind, now it matters. And so I've noticed the anger's come up again. And yes, I think now I've noticed how I won't know how I'm feeling until I get really, really angry. And then I am almost surprised by my own level of anger because I haven't been self-aware. I may have self-knowledge, but I haven't been self-aware. And until I reach that point where I can't ignore it anymore. And so, yes, answer your question the long way, yes. I tell Shelby sometimes, like, Shelby, can you just ask me questions? Like, yeah, so I can talk out loud or think out loud or try to figure out what's going on, because I sometimes don't even know, especially when emotions are strong, I can't even think straight until I get it out somehow, whether it's, like I said, in prayer or writing it or talking to somebody. Can I really work it out?
One of the metaphors you hear very often on three panels is that what happens to the emotions is that you freeze them, as if they're into a block of ice. And then to get to them, it's a slow process of melting through it. And some of the activity, I think, is what does that. I've also heard, and I don't know if this resonates, that there's some awareness that in a lot of threes will say, if I let my emotions out, they're going to be so big that I'm not going to be able to manage them, or they're going to overwhelm, or something like that. Is any of that familiar?
Yeah. I remember my father-in-law saying, you know, you put up with a lot and then you explode. Maybe if you said something sooner, it would be better. And I remember thinking, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm fine. I'm a three. No, I didn't know I was a three at the time, but I felt like I wasn't in touch with those emotions.
Yeah.
I wasn't in touch with the squishing of those emotions. I think one thing I do now is I really stop and I pause. I take a lot of time to stop and pause and ask myself, how do I really feel? And if I don't really know how I feel about something, I just take like meditation time, like just breathe, just relax, just take a space to try to find myself again. Because I'm so, I think, always reading everything around me. And it's really hard to read what's happening in here if it's not related to action and it's just related to feelings. Because where do feelings go? You know, they go nowhere. They don't accomplish anything. You know, they just are there making problems.
Yeah. I heard 1-3 say they're non-aerodynamic. They're like a drag. They keep me from getting to my goals. Yeah. Yeah. Other questions?
Is it different to be a 3 as a male versus a female?
I think, Joan, you'd have more.
Less so now than it used to be. There are not too many types where we know too much about gender difference. Used to be that it was easier for men to recognize 3-ness than for women. I don't know that that's still true. The other side is it's harder for men to recognize 2-ness or 4-ness, the other emotional types, because they're expressive. So I don't really know.
There's also a lot of mistyping with women who get typed as 2s or feel like they're 2s. Have you run into that as well, where they find out
the
later
the line between
not a
2 and 3 can be very, very close.
Yeah.
Because the socializing, especially those of us that are on the older end of this, was that success was defined differently than work necessarily.
Yeah, you were a good helper and that kind of thing.
Yeah, you know, the outward pieces, the pieces that need to be there for us to be sure that we're a 3, are that we have to be aware of this need for recognition and success, this very strong drive to accomplish, the difficulty with emotion that they described better than I could, and a sense that how they are seen by other people is super important, which we call image. As a 9, I can't do image to save my life. Like, I don't even understand. But I've never met a 3 who doesn't understand, how I am perceived is not only super important, but it's something that I can adjust. So if those things are all there, then there is no gender difference.
I would say it as that the core motivation is still the same, but there are social overlays and cultural overlays. 3s in a different country will look different from the behaviors or the externals, but they still say the same thing. They still deal with, and you've done a lot of international work, there's still the 3-ness at the core level with the motivations and where the attention tends to go.
And I'll say for me personally, you know, I've noticed myself saying to other people sometimes, especially around other guys, like, you know, I'm really not in touch with my emotions. You know, it's almost more of a good thing. Like I'm appealing to some standard of masculinity instead of admitting this is not a good thing. And so, yeah, it's almost like that can almost kind of keep me stuck, caged in that type, because there's certain expectations of what men are supposed to be some places.
I have a client that just is like, I don't know what the target is of my work in my workplace. I don't know what the goal is. I don't. And it's like she's really struggling a lot right now. And she feels like, I don't know what that looks like anymore. I don't know what success looks like anymore. What would you say to another 3 who's struggling in that space of like, I don't know what to do because I don't know what the goal is, what the target is?
Almost create a hypothetical. I have done this before with some people. So the givens are, you're in this job, you have to stay in it. This is all you know about it. What could possibly feel successful within this? You validate that she needs the success.
Yeah.
Just like Kirk just said. And maybe it's emotional And maybe it's a stretch and maybe it's unconventional, but it's got to be there.
Yeah.
When we say the threes need to do their work of transformation, it's not that they stop focusing on being successful or achieving. That's not the work of the three. It's the desire, the need for affirmation, to appear successful, that internal need, because that's the part that becomes the contracting force that starts to pull down that creates the personality type. It's that I need this rather than I don't need it, but I'm successful. I do need clarity. I do need to know what we're aiming at so that we can aim at it. But I don't have this need to, for my own sense of self-worth, that's chronically there all the time. And even if it is, I've become self-aware that that's what's going on. So I can choose a different path. That's what we're saying about the three. So I want to make sure that that's clear, because I always get people that'll come up afterwards and say, so are twos not to be helpers? Is that what it is? And not to work on helping others? No, they're made for that. And they're amazing at it. It's just the need to appear as helpful in the eyes of other people that gives them that identity. The threes get the identity from the world around them. And trying to shift that now so that the identity is really more core to who they are. And they start living out of their own sense of, this is who I really am. I'm not doing this job just because I can succeed at it. I'm doing this because that is my calling. That is who I'm made to be. And that is what I love.
Can I speak to some? I was praying about 2 years ago, and this just shows how awesome God is how he knows our types and he knows mm-hmm. what we need to hear. And while I was praying, I didn't feel like I got anything from God all weekend except for one thing. And that was, I was praying and I had this vision where I saw over here this set of clothes, and then over here a set of clothes, and over here a set of clothes. And then I saw myself completely naked on my face and on my knees, like right there in the center. And I said, Lord, what is this? He says, that's your dad clothes. That's your pastor clothes. That's your husband clothes. And that's, you are my son right there. You know, and wow. And that was the picture for me, like that I didn't have, like it was, all the roles were not who I was.
Yeah.
It was the pure core that I was a son of God and that never changes and that nothing I do, you know, makes me more of that. I am that. And so that is secure. And learning to tap into that and be okay with that, instead of saying that all of a sudden, like how I perform in these various clothes depends on who I am. Like, is that, that's just like the picture of what you were just saying.
Perfect. Perfect. And like you said, this is what I tell people all the time. Like, God knew your personality type when you were born. So this image, this picture is like so targeted to the three. There's no other type that struggles with that nearly as much as the three does. You know, any one of us could have had that and it would have been, yeah, helpful. But to the three, that's like core to the type. and God knew that and God gave you that gift.
I'll translate it into Enneagram speak. You are perfect as you are without the type. And I think that's true of every type. It's just that one is just dead. I've never heard such a clear metaphor.
It's beautiful.
It makes me want to think, okay, can we ask all the other types?
Yeah,
have they ever...
One of those, yeah.
Yeah.
Drawing from, as you had said before, you're helping, one of the things you do in your coaching is you help people find the places where they've already had an experience like this and draw from that when they get stuck in a present circumstance.
And I was thinking about that before. Many of us at the beginning of the study, we'll insist that we haven't ever had those experiences of being enough or perfect or whatever. It's the type that kind of blocks it out. But then every once in a while you get a blockbuster and you can't block that out. But with people who really want to work deeply, there's always like this blindness over it and you have to keep digging. It's in there somewhere.
So what happens when the three leans into veracity, authenticity, truth, is it is beautiful.
Oh, man.
It is beautiful. Yeah. You know, because you live with the three. So you know what I'm talking about. There is nothing more beautiful when the type leans into its virtue. The very thing it's been working against, the structure has been working against, the type, for all those years, when they lean into that, it's better than any other type's natural space doing that very thing. Like, when you do it, it comes across with something that's magical, something glorious, something beautiful comes through in that space. That's what we're even hearing this. And you talked about time when you were authentic and real and exposed yourself on a Sunday morning, and it was like killer. And you said you had more affirmation from that than you would have ever imagined. You know, yeah.
The type is kind of one way to look at it, and this comes from David Daniels, who was one of, you've learned through his books, but I was lucky enough to learn from him. The type is a mimic, a mimic of that higher quality. So that veracity and honesty and ability to accomplish is natural to you. And the type is kind of a pale imitation of that real. And you can go all the way around the Enneagram, and you've got that same situation going on.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we could talk about all the types just as an example. The seven appears, stereotypically appears always happy, always bubbly, always joyful. It's not true on the inside, but because the structure has that. But when you start to get into doing your work, the joy, real, the true joy starts emerging through there. The need to consume the world and chase everything. When the seven's finally restful, it is able to consume a whole lot. Like, there is this like ability to take on 100 different projects or, you know, multiple things, but it doesn't need it, you know? So each type has that, where it's not something you're chasing for a particular need to protect yourself. It becomes freed up to be what it was always meant to be, and that's the true self. So that's what we're seeing here, a lot of it coming through you guys, which is really awesome. Yeah. I want to say thank you to the panel. They did a great job again. Amazing. And thank you so much for that. It's really good. Affirmation to the three. Very successful job. Yes. You succeeded at it. It was wonderful. Thank you.
So I've loved seeing new names pop up the last few weeks on the Facebook page. And if you haven't joined us yet, you can do that at the Enneagram Panels podcast Facebook page. We'll have some discussions over there. If you are interested in coaching through the Enneagram, you can contact Joel, our Enneagram coach here, at www.joelhubbard.com. And this is Life Coaching Corporate. If you want to have him in your organization, just contact him there and we can figure out the details. So my name is Jim Zartman, and my site is www.jimzartman.com. As far as what we're talking about here, if you are in a relationship and would like some couples coaching, you can contact me through my website. And my wife and I, it's couples coaching couples, is the idea. So, special thanks to Vine 39 Church in Stoneham, Massachusetts, for making this podcast possible, vine39.org. This podcast is produced by me, Jim Zartman, at my studio, Talkie Records, in Lynn, Massachusetts. And thanks again to those leaving us a review on iTunes. It helps people find the show. And if anyone else can do that this week, that would be awesome. So thanks to all of you, and a special shout out to you threes this week. May you be successful in every area of your life. So until next time, everyone, please breathe and grow.